This is our number two, 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 two,
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I can't believe the Jay Inslee soundbite. I just heard in Ursula's newscast, so I wasn't going to talk about that because he just finished the State of the State speech, but I'll get to that in just a second. So I'm on the brink. I'm going to make an announcement today that later this week, I'm going to make an announcement.
And why are you doing it in two installments?
So in other words, you're teasing an announcement.
I'm teasing, yes. This is not an announcement. This is a tease.
Okay.
That later this week, I'm going to make an announcement.
And what does it have to do with?
It is something,
what's it about?
Something we've never done before. Something for our listeners.
Can you do it on Thursday? Because I'm out on Friday, and I don't know if I can deal with the weekend not knowing what you announced.
Why are you out on Friday? And why don't I know about this? How'd that happen? Where are you going?
It's called, I'm going down to Portland.
Okay. Just curious.
God, do I have to clear it with you?
No, but I'd like to know these things. You're an important, integral part of the show.
That's why I said do it on Thursday.
Okay, so we're planning an event that, unlike any we have ever done before, for a couple months from now, 2 or 3 months from now, that I will probably be the most nervous that I've ever been for anything in my life.
Okay, now I know.
That's all I can say at this point.
No, this is worthwhile, yes.
Okay, but we had a big meeting this morning, and I think I can tease that I will make an announcement in 2 or 3 days.
Why wasn't I part of that meeting?
What?
And why wasn't I part of that meeting?
Well,
there you go. Okay,
you were busy.
Yeah, okay. You're doing
newscast. It wasn't that important, Ursula.
Okay.
You're doing the Tom and Curly newscast there.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what's
anyway,
going on.
But no, I know what you're talking about.
Before I get to the stuff I was planning on talking about, I heard a clip of Jay Inslee's State of the State speech, which I'm hearing from a lot of people, it was just a 2020 presidential campaign speech. And of course, to be a viable Democratic candidate in 2020, you have to not just be far left. You have to be wild-eyed, wing-nut, loony left to have any chance at getting the presidential nomination. Or Joe Biden. So anyway, today, Jay Inslee just finished his State of the State speech. And here's one of the things he talked about, the wildfire smoke getting out of control. And why? Climate change.
Historic wildfires blackened our air so much that we had the worst air quality in the world. Not China, not India, Washington State.
Okay, so many questions here. First of all, the reason we had the worst air quality last summer was because of wildfires in British Columbia. And the airstream was blowing to the south. And so it blew the British Columbia wildfire smoke down here. What does British Columbia have that we don't have? That Jay Inslee wants? A carbon tax. What did the carbon tax do to stop wildfires in British Columbia? Obviously, nothing. Next question. Democrats have been in control of this state and of the governor's mansion for pretty much my entire adult lifetime. Why haven't you already fixed it? If you know how, why hasn't your party fixed it? You are on your second term. Why haven't you fixed it, Jay Inslee? How do you blame the skies and say politics are the solution if your party has been in power for my entire lifetime and things were as bad as they've ever been last summer? Have you thought that maybe it's not a climate change problem, but maybe a Democratic Party problem? I mean, I don't know. That makes as much sense to me as blaming something that happened in another country. as the reason.
And I don't know of any other issue that touches the heart of so many of the things we all care about, our jobs, our health, our safety, and our children's future. But this doesn't have to be our future.
Well, we have a lot of murders around here right now. I talked in the big lead. Yakima County just had their highest murder rate in 38 years. We have crime in downtown Seattle that's maiming people. We've had women raped by homeless people. I think that touches the hearts and the families of people. So, no, I would rather be touched by climate change than the extension of the violent crime that's going on in our city, our county, our state. So that's just me, though. That's just me. If it's going to be 84 degrees in the summertime, 2 degrees warmer than it used to be, and I can sit on my deck for an extra 5 minutes, I'll deal with that more than I'll deal with, you know, the women who are getting raped by homeless people who come here from other states. It's because of our drug policies. But again, that's just me.
This is the 11th hour, but it is Washington State's hour to shine. It's a time of great peril, but it is also a time of great promise.
He really thinks he's a great orator all of a sudden. He thinks that that's what's going to get him elected president. And I've never really understood the 11th hour thing. Isn't it the 23rd hour? Or are we only halfway to the problem?
Don't be so literal about it. I think 11th hour to before. So 11 to midnight, like running out of time.
But 11 o'clock is really 2300 military time.
Okay. So, you get the point.
Though. So it's morning right now.
You know, that came from the Bible, so
there
don't question
go.
It.
Exactly.
It does.
Yeah.
What, 11th hour?
Yeah.
Oh. What came verse? Why do I not know this?
Matthew 29.
Nope. It's taken from a passage in the parable of the workers in the vineyard in the King James Bible.
Oh, God bless Inslee then. Oops, sorry. I'm not supposed to say that to people on the left.
And we didn't know that you were going to start talking about...
No, what, I had no idea.
Yeah, but why does it have to be either or? I mean, why not be able to, you know, why not address some of the crime problems and do things that will not continue to hurt the environment?
Because he doesn't talk about the crime problems.
I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah. He also talked about gun reform. He talked about a whole bunch of things, but he kind of hit the big topics.
Also, I can clarify what the 11th hour means of a 12-hour.
I'm already bored of that.
It's a work day. It goes by the work day. So they used to work 12-hour work days, and it's the people taking over at the 11th hour.
Oh, there you go. Thanks, Nicole.
So Jay Inslee, if elected president, wants to take us back to the days of sweatshops where people had to work 60 hours a week, the 12-hour work day. The leisure of man is of no concern to President Inslee. Next up in the Fastest 15. So have we all heard this Gillette commercial that is all the rage today? Gillette has told guys that basically we need to shave our toxic masculinity. And I'm just going to play a few. It's a long ad, and it basically is telling Gillette, which do women... use Gillette to shave their legs or armpits?
I mean, they can. It's not our most popular brand.
Is there a lady Gillette?
Yes.
They do have them.
Okay. But the vast majority of Gillette's customers since the company's inception has been men.
Yes.
Okay. And even their tagline, Gillette, the best a man can be. But what we found out from this Gillette ad is that men suck.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
It shows a couple of boys wrestling at a barbecue, backyard barbecue, and the dad say, boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys. Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
Okay, this is such a nauseating commercial.
But it's apparently effective because we're all talking about it.
Well,
when was the last time we talked about anything pertaining to Gillette?
Because, yes, they're getting talked about. But I don't think it's in a particularly positive way. And I think there are a lot of men who are sick and tired of being told that because we have some traditional elements of what's been considered masculinity or gender.
But those aren't the ones that are being addressed. I mean, some of the traditional things.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the problem.
No,
it's the things that are...
I don't think anybody would argue bullying and sexual harassment are not to be tolerated.
It tends to paint it as all men.
Yeah,
that's the thing is it's not... I don't know. It does come off as it's talking to all men saying, is this the best we get?
A woman named D.C. McAllister, who writes for The Federalist, she sent out a great tweet. And as a husband and as the father of three daughters, this resonated with me. She said, I'm calling on Playtex, Tampax, Kotex to make a commercial about how nasty women are to men while on their periods and to call women to be better. Women, be the best you can be. Stop bleeping at men when you're in that condition. It's emotionally abusive. was that an incorrect politically incorrect phrase?
When you're having your
period.
It would
have been better for me to just read the word menstruating that was in her, was in her tweet. You know what? That's what Gillette wanted. They wanted the feminization of me to be afraid to even read a word.
It's okay to say when women are on their period. It's not a big deal.
But
the thing is, I'm the mother of... Okay, so I'm in a household of men. I'm the only woman in a household of men. I don't think my sons or my husband should be bothered by this because they're not the people that are being depicted. The vast majority of men are awesome.
One of the big, and I know you're going to adamantly disagree with me on this, one of the huge problems we have in our society is the feminization of men and the masculinization of women. It's a huge problem in our society. This dramatic push on the left that we should have no gender norms and that we're all the... It is such a load of crap.
I think you're putting it to the extreme. I don't think that is such a huge problem. I mean,
it is a gigantic problem.
Give me a specific. I mean, I raise my sons to be sensitive human beings. That doesn't mean that they're not masculine.
The assumption that masculinity is the cause of so many of our woes, it's baseless.
It's not masculinity.
Yeah,
it's
that's what they're saying.
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity, which is being assigned to all men.
No.
And that we have to, you know, Gillette says we have to shave our masculinity.
I think the reaction is exactly...
That didn't sound right either, for crying out loud. That's called manscaping. That's not what I meant.
It's okay to show the sensitive side. And it's okay to, you know,
Do you know what the brand new, just out this week, American Psychological Association report said? Did you hear about that?
No.
This week, the American Psychological Association says masculinity, not toxic, just masculinity, is the cause of all sorts of ills, including promiscuity, sexual abuse, mental illness, violence, and suicide. And to say that, you know, being born a boy and raised a man, well, that's the APA that says it. It could be the neglect of masculinity and having...
I just don't know why we have to go to such extremes. So why not just...
Well, we do. I mean, we have a society. Are you saying that there's not a very real effort among a growing population to eliminate gender?
I don't think there's any effort to eliminate gender. No. No.
Really?
I really don't. In my daily life, do I see that? No.
No.
By any group. Like, you believe there's a group.
I'm talking about the political left, and I'm talking about the social justice left. You don't think that there's an effort?
I think there's a small percentage of people who would fit into that category, but...
Do you think it's grown in the last 10 or 15
maybe,
or 20 years?
Yes.
I mean, look, I think that masculinity was probably celebrated on June 6, 1944, when a bunch of men jumped out of airplanes and some of them got their knees blown off and they jumped off landing boats and they fought. I mean, they saved the world on D-Day. And that was celebrated back then. Now, if you're a kid and you grow up and you want to play soldier and dream of being in the military, the parents are ridiculed for that. And there was a time when masculinity
was celebrated. That's just a blanket statement. I mean,
really?
The parents are ridiculed.
You don't think that, and this is mainstream left now. This isn't a small percentage. You don't think that on the left...
People are ridiculed for going into the military?
No. For letting their kids play soldier with a toy plastic gun. You don't think mainstream left says that that's a wrong thing to do today?
I don't.
Wow. You have some... Maybe your friends aren't...
I don't hang out in the extreme. I really don't.
Oh, man. I think that more than half of the left horrified at kids playing. I mean,
I raised two boys. You've met them.
No, they're wonderful, beautiful young men. You've done a great, great job. A kid takes a bite out of a Pop-Tart at school.
But we're showing the ridiculous.
It looks like the
and
shape.
And that's ridiculous.
Every school does it. Every school
but,
in America.
The Pop-Tart story? No. That's...
Eat a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, go bang, bang, and the kid gets suspended. A kid has a New Year's Eve.
It got brought up because it was ridiculous.
It happens at every school. There's zero tolerance. Kids aren't allowed to play soldier. They can't play gun. They can't play cops and robbers. They're not allowed. And I don't... I'm surprised you don't think that's mainstream because it's literally not allowed in any school in America.
Well, there's zero tolerance for weaponry, yes.
For toys, for finger guns.
Yeah.
For putting your index finger out and going bang,
yeah,
bang.
That's ridiculous.
And the far left controls the schools, and I've made my point. And that is your... You know what? Even I get annoyed when I do the power out after we've had a nice, spirited conversation and then close things out. But I'm just looking at the clock and I have to right now. I'm sorry.
The manly Dave is stopping by.
Yeah. And by the way, that was a manly way to close the segment, too. That is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, he's a soy boy if I ever knew one. Dave Wyman will come join us next. Don't tell my heart, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh,
nice job.
Yeah, nice job.
Yeah. He has a daughter who's gone into the biz, I heard.
Is it Miley Cyrus?
I don't know. Now you're talking about details, Dave. I'm not a detail guy. I'm one of those 35,000 feet guys.
I've heard of Miley Cyrus.
Have you? You're a pop culture genius.
I don't think so.
I said something. I have Brock on for the Monday Monson quarterback on Monday.
It's a very clever play on words, by the way.
Thank you. We really tested that one before we went with it. We had all kinds. We had focus groups, and it was impressive. Anyway, I said to Brock, because usually when he and I talk on Mondays, it would be after his Monday morning interview with Pete Carroll. And I would talk about some of the things that Pete revealed about the game the day before. And the season's over now, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Brock, we need a thing. And he didn't know what I meant. And I said, like Wyman and I, when there's not that much going on in the sports world, we have named that artist every time Dave comes on. And I said, it doesn't have to be that, but you and I, Brock, need a thing. What should our thing be, since Name That Artist has just worked out so wildly successfully for you and me?
Well, I don't know how wildly successful it is as much as it is
annoying.
I think it's been
quite a career booster for both of us.
Annoying to people.
You, before you did Name That Artist, you were not the Seahawks color guy. How do you think you
one
got the gig?
One thing led to the other.
Yes.
I see.
Name that artist. And I don't want to talk about the conversations I had.
Brock and I had a Jeopardy contest. There was different categories. Remember that, Sean? That was like in a bigger pain in the ass than having to load up these songs.
Oh, I kind of remember that, yeah.
Oh, that's when you guest hosted this show.
Yeah, Brock and I did it together.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that'd be okay. His idea was, and I don't know how good this is, he said, since you and I both love coaching, what if Nicole came up with some quotes from coaches and you and I have to figure out who said it?
I'd win that one.
You would?
Yeah.
You probably would. So,
you can give it a try.
So, yeah. So, anyway, Nicole, we have until
next
Monday.
Let's go heavy
on
the Knoxisms. Sorry.
We have until next Monday to figure out something with Brock that's as wildly successful as Name That Artist with Dave.
Okay.
Would you say it's wildly successful?
Wildly.
Yeah.
Wild. It's wild.
Look at my ratings. So, do you think the Seahawks would have beat any of the teams who are playing on Sunday?
Well,
Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, they would have had a chance with the Rams. I think they're a good matchup with the Rams, but as I watched the Rams play the Cowboys, I was like, yeah, no. The way they handled Dallas's defensive line, and Dallas's D-line really, I don't want to say they killed our offensive line, but they were one of the two or three teams, once they got it going, that were able to stop it.
Right.
So
it was interesting. When Pete was on the day after the Cowboys game with Brock and Salk, they asked him, do you think the Cowboys have a chance to do some damage here in these playoffs? And Pete, I know Pete well enough. I can anticipate his answer. And he's always going to say, yeah, of course they do. Because he just beat the Seahawks. Pete's answer was, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
It was like the way Pete answered that, I think he knew that the Rams were going to cream the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The team that had just beat him the day before.
Well, and they didn't totally cream them, but it was... How frustrating would it have been? And there was a very real possibility that Philadelphia beat New Orleans. I mean, they had a chance at the end of that game. It was 20-14, and Alshon Jeffries, their best receiver, the ball goes right through his hands. I believe he was all pro.
Yeah.
Or at least a pro bowler. And how much would that have hurt that the number six seed, we could be hosting them?
Yeah, the Seahawks could have hosted the NFC championship game.
Just in general, I think that they're a year away. You know, this is kind of like 2012, and not quite as good as that because they went to the second round there. But, you know, they were a couple plays away from that. So I feel like that's where, you know, the thing that I'm surprised by is that everybody's talking about, oh, my gosh, this changes the landscape of the NFL because there's no top 10 defenses in there. New England is number six or seven during the regular season in scoring. But, you know, it's all about offense and everything. And I'm like, I don't think so, man. I people that are chasing this trend, you know, of getting like these quarterback whisperer head coaches like Sean McVay and Cliff Kingsbury or whatever his name is, the kid that has, he has like a negative record at Texas Tech. And yeah, I just think that that is, it's an anomaly and that defense always wins.
Sure. Yeah. The stat I saw, just unbelievable to me. Tom Brady's been playing for 17 years. This will be his 13th conference championship game in 17 years. That's 73%. And as somebody pointed out, LeBron James makes 72% of his free throws. I mean, all you have to do is go to a line and put a ball in a basket 15 feet away. And Tom Brady is better at getting to a conference championship game than LeBron is at making a free throw.
Well, an 8 in a row, too. That was the other thing. It's ridiculous. Yeah, what they've done is amazing. I mean, he's the GOAT, right? Tom Brady?
Yes.
He's
and so is Belichick.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I like Belichick. I like the way he coaches. I know he's immature during his press conferences and everything.
Yeah. But
how about this? Adam Vinatieri was 70 for 70 in extra point tries in the playoffs until Saturday when he missed an extra point.
Yeah.
And then he missed his shortest kick of the year. And that's what we talked about on our show yesterday. What do you do with the kickers?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a crapshoot with them. Because Hauschka, everything was great, and then it went down.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Buffalo, and he's like an all-pro kicker. And nobody wants to kick in Buffalo.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, the kid that they cut, he ends up going to the Pro Bowl for the Jets.
I can't remember his damn name. I don't care. These kickers, they're all the same. Yeah, his name's Justin Myers or Jason Myers or something like that.
Yeah, Myers.
Yeah.
That kid.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, we got a lot of other stuff to talk about with Dave Wyman. Oh, this is Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins.
That was Dory starting that out
there. Yeah, he did.
But you know what? Dave finished it before I got it out.
What is this, a Lady in the Tramps? Tramp here?
Wait, what? I don't get that reference.
You know, eating the spaghetti strand together, and then you meet in the middle, and it's a lovely little doggy kiss.
Yuck.
Also, which for Dave's sake, I don't
wait,
like
I'll get to your question in a second, Nicole. Which one of us is the lady, and which one of us the tramp?
Dory, I think that you'd be the lady, because you sort of identify more with the female perspective.
Okay, what were you going to ask, Nicole?
No, I just said, I don't like when you pity Dave and give him those.
Okay, it's 2-0.
Yeah, no, thanks for pointing that out.
No pity.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll continue the edition of Name That Artist, world-renowned, often imitated, never copied. No, wait, how's that go?
What does that mean?
Often copied, never imitated. What's the phrase? Text me, the Online
never
Trading
perfected?
Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973. I'm sorry, what, Dave?
Never perfected?
I don't know. No, that definitely is not it. Not we'll continue with Dave Wyman in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show.
There you go.
Annie Lennox, Dave, can we agree? One of the great voices in rock history.
She has Brock Heward eyes.
Really?
Yeah, she has those blue bird eyes.
That just sear their way into my soul.
I don't know that she's that great.
That's just wrong. So we're talking after the last song that Sean played, Kenny Loggins. Remember when we had him on the pregame show a few years ago?
I sure do.
He raised the 12 flag, didn't he?
Yeah. What was his connection? Is he from here?
I don't know.
And you don't remember Josh Lucas?
I don't remember actor Josh Lucas being on with us.
Yeah. I just remembered that he was in Secondhand Lions, which is a great movie.
Okay.
Robert Duvall was in that. Michael Caine.
Incredible people we've met, though, raising the 12 flag over the years. The fact we get to sit down with these guys. We had Chris Pratt, the biggest movie star in the world last year, raising the 12 flag. You know who I want to get? Hey, can you bump up the person that I want you to get as a guest? What are you smiling
at? I just compared their eyes. It's creepy. They're
Brock Heward and Annie Lennox? Thank you.
It's creepy.
What? Can you bump up the fonts?
By the way, I didn't know who Chris Pratt was. I did not. I swear.
Until when?
I swear to you.
When he
walked up on the stage, somebody told me.
As big a movie star or big as movie fan as you are?
I think he's awesome. I remember you playing at the Teenage Awards or whatever, MTV Awards, where he had the thing about bullying.
He'll talk
and stuff.
About his faith. He's
awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But, that's something that's always amazed me about you. Is, like, last week, Sean played a song for Name That Artist, and it was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. And I said, well, you know why this song is famous in pop culture history. It was the first song ever played on MTV, and you didn't know that. And I'm amazed because you know movies and you can quote lines from movies and you're always amazed and disgusted that I have never seen any movie. And as much as you're into movies, I'm amazed at how uninformed you are about almost all other aspects of pop culture.
I knew this was going to hurt.
No.
Is this meant to make me feel better?
No, it's just two friends talking.
What's the pop culture thing that I don't get? Naming this tune, these tunes? Maybe just a little quicker.
No, like the Buggles, I would have thought because...
You know, I probably have CTE, Dory. And you are sitting there. I'm offended.
Fonz cut is in there.
Of all the possible responses, that was the worst of them all. So did you hear this, for example, last week at the Golden Globes, the Fonz, King Five was down there, and they asked Henry Winkler, who apparently was really sad that the Seahawks had lost to Dallas the day before. And here's what the Fonz said about that.
Coach Pete, I am so sorry that the season is over, but the career is long. You are great. Your players are great. Your fans are great. I'll see you next year. And Max sends his best.
The Fonz,
yeah,
is a huge Seahawk fan. So I want to get him up here to raise the 12 flag next year because he is truly, of all the actors I've ever had on the show, he was one of the most fun and most gracious guests.
You said he was down to earth, super down to earth guy.
Unbelievably down to earth. Yeah. And indulged me because all I wanted to talk about was what it was like to go from an unknown to the biggest megastar in the country, which is what happened to him.
As the Fonz?
Like in his 20s. And now he still stays normal and stays one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. And I'm amazed at people who can, you know, like athletes who handle that.
Right.
I'm amazed and impressed with that.
Yeah, I agree. It is because, you know, you get lots of money, lots of fame. And then, you know, and then you can understand where sometimes you'd get aggravated because people are coming up and trying to talk to you and they want your time. He was in a great movie called Night Shift in 1982.
I have seen that one.
You know, what was the premise of that movie?
Michael Keaton.
Right. The premise of the movie?
They worked the night shift at a job.
They were pimps who worked in a morgue.
Right.
They ran
a
prostitution ring out of a morgue.
Is there anything incorrect about what I said?
No. But it was very general. Nobody's going to know anything about that.
Maybe I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
That
doesn't sound like it. No.
Okay. Dave, that's Dave Wyman there. Gosh, I had so many other...
Triumph.
No.
Final Countdown. That's some German band. It's on a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
What's their name?
Oh, for the love. Oh, doggone it. This one's going to haunt me in the wee hours of the morning. I should know
who
this
is
one.
It? I can't take it anymore.
Europe.
Europe!
I'd have never got that. I didn't know there was a band called Europe.
You can hear Dave Wyman every afternoon, 3 to 7. Danny, Dave, and Moore, 710 ESPN Seattle. I honestly can't remember when I've had a more delightful time on the radio than this last half hour.
I thought it was a little weak.
Thank you for coming by. The Big Lead of Two is coming up next.